joining me right now, and you've seen a lot of his content on social media. Does a lot of Mets streams, content on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. And that's you can find him on social media at Tony Metro MLB. Is Tony. What's up, Tony? It's Al Cintron. How are you?
Al, I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much for having me on. You know, I didn't think I'd be able to stay up till 2 a.m. Kept reminding myself that I'd get a chance to speak to the super Met fan that is Al Cintron, and that kept me going.
Well, thanks a lot. I have one question real quick right off the bat. How's the hair right now? Because I got to admit, you got a nice coif of hair.
Dude, you know what, man? Sometimes I'm recording these at 6 in the morning. I'll tell you one thing. I have the worst bedhead of all time. And sometimes breaking news, you just got to get that video out. Yeah. And I don't have time to go the whole shower routine. I don't know how it's looking right now, but you know what? I'm just happy I got some. So we'll leave it at that.
Hey, amen to that. I can grow mine. So I used to have a coif like that back in the day, but it's very impressive. I got to give you props when it comes to that.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. It's a lot of maintenance, but we try to keep it in check.
Oh, I know. I used to have gel, mousse, hairspray, all that other nonsense. I just decided to shave it all off.
That's probably the better move. Save you a lot of time.
Yes.
That I can attest to.
So, look, getting into the Mets right now, what are your early impressions about this 2026 Met team, positive and negative?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny how one series can really change how you're feeling in this first week, right? I mean, we left St. Louis, and the fan base was having a meltdown. And I won't say that I was not a little irritated myself with the way that series went with the Cardinals. But then they come back to fight to win 3 out of 4 against the Giants and to win the final 3 games after really carrying over from that St. Louis series into Thursday's opener against San Francisco. Really impressive to do that on the road against a pretty talented Giants team. So positives, you got to start with the starting rotation. Two turns through now, and everybody has been really good. The only one that's kind of the outlier was David Peterson's start on Thursday. So really happy with what we got from them. Specific shout out to Kodai Senga, who looked really good yesterday and looked really good in his first start on Wednesday out in St. Louis. And then the bullpen has been tremendous. I mean, lights out for the most part. A lot of, you know, high leverage innings where they were able to keep the Mets, you know, within the game and close and an opportunity to win. It's been the bats that have been a little bit of a disappointment, a little up and down. And fortunately, they came around this weekend to take that series in San Francisco. So I think there's been a lot of good, a little bit of bad, and a little bit of all in between. But that's to be expected 10 games into the year.
Which Met right now surprised you the most so far this season?
It's got to be Marcientos, right? I mean, everyone in the fan base had written him off. You know, Brett Beatty had the impressive second half he had last year. Vientos was just in the sewer in 2025. How soon we forget what a postseason hero he was in 24 and in the second half of that year. Huge reason they even made the playoffs as the final wild card team. I always had that faith in him, believed it was still in him somewhere. And the early returns are showing that the Mets were right not to sell low on this guy. I mean, I think something like 10 hits in his last 18 at-bats, reached base 12 times in the last 21 plate appearances. He's drawing walks. He's taking what the pitchers are giving to him. And if you get that 2024 version of Marcientos back, it becomes one of the deeper lineups in baseball if everything else goes to plan as well.
Now, we go through this every April, and I love Francisco Lindor. But again, we're going through this in April. With Juan Soto out, it's very, very important that Francisco Lindor now starts picking it up.
Without a doubt. I just said that myself today. Look, we know he is a notorious slow starter, whether it's the weather, whether it's just, you know, hitters being a little behind pitchers at this time of year. I don't think we've ever really put our thumb on the reason why Lindor gets off to such slow starts. But it is imperative, yeah, that he puts this team on his back right now. And I don't think it'll make or break their season if the Mets just teeter around 500 for the next, say, 10 games while Soto is out. But it'd be nice for them to be able to beef up a little bit early on, still show they can win games without Soto in the lineup, which, of course, they did this weekend. I mean, you know, leaving in the first inning on Friday and then missing the rest of that series with San Fran, really nice to see other contributors in the lineup show up. Like I said, Vientos, but to even get it from some very unlikely characters in the form of Jared Young, Tyrone Taylor, I mean, you know, Luis Torrens with the go-ahead two-run double in the eighth yesterday. You know, I don't want to put it all on Lindor, but him being one of the highest paid players and who I think is the face of this franchise, there's definitely a little added weight to him.
Now, what do you say to the moronic Met fans that had the nerve to say at Francisco Lindor's time in New York is up, they should trade him?
Well, I don't know whoever said that, but I would tell them that you could do almost, it's almost impossible to do any better at shortstop in Major League Baseball. I think maybe three guys off the top of my hand, Bobby Witt Jr. being one of them. And honestly, I can't even think of two other right now here in the moment that I would take over Lindor at shortstop. So, you know, they say the grass is always greener on the other side. Well, most of the time it actually isn't. And that's the case for Lindor, a guy that will get his 30-30 almost on a yearly basis, play gold glove defense. I think last year he was really hampered by that broken toe he suffered in Los Angeles, and that affected him more with the glove on the defensive side. And you're just not going to find many better than this guy. And, you know, it's funny because we're going to be inducting Carlos Beltran into the Mets Hall of Fame and retiring number 15 in September. They just announced today the Mets did. I feel Lindor will go down as that same kind of Beltran type guy where we won't really truly maybe appreciate him, or I should say a portion of the fan base won't truly appreciate him until years later down the road. But this is one of the top players in all of baseball.
I knew it was going to happen with Lindor. You just saw it. It's, you know, it's Carlos Beltran 2.0 all over again. The Met fans should appreciate what they have. It's Bobby Witt Jr. and no one else at shortstop. That, I agree with you on that.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of, I mean, you want to try and tell me Trey Turner? Well, he's equally as inconsistent. No. I mean, you know, has been up and down in his Phillies career. I mean, got booed for his first few months there before that standing ovation they gave him. And I think most Philly fans would say they don't believe they actually got what they paid for with Trey Turner. I do confidently believe the Mets have gotten everything and then some for what they paid for Francisco Lindor with that extension a few years ago.
Now, it's funny. I put out a tweet sarcastically that the Mets are 3-0 without Juan Soto. They should trade him. Did the Mets, just to counteract this, the moronic Lindor trade BS, do you think the Mets dodged a bullet here with Juan Soto, this calf strain, instead of it being far, far worse than what it could have been?
Well, I think you may have stoked the flames a little on Mets Twitter and Twitter as a whole, because not everybody is as internet savvy, right? Maybe didn't catch on to that sarcasm, so hopefully we didn't start something. But, and I'm sorry, if you could repeat your question now, because I'm just imagining in my head everyone saying, yeah, get rid of Soto.
No, you know what's going to happen. It'll happen eventually with Juan Soto. I said, the Mets dodge a bullet
if they dodge the bullet.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, look, it's a calf, right? It's a soft tissue injury. Don't risk it. It's the first week of April. It's cold outside. The Mets even moved the next two games against the Diamondbacks to 4:10 because it's going to be so cold in the evenings out there. It's not worth, especially Soto, who is a gamer, who, if you look at him, has played, I believe it's the third most amount of games in all of baseball since he debuted in 2018. I mean, he plays a full season every year. He's going to push to try to play, even if he's not feeling totally 100%. Protect him from himself. Give him the 10-day IL. It's retroactive to Saturday. I think he will be back the first day that he's available to return from the IL. I'd rather him miss a week right now then this get worse, aggravate it later in the year, and potentially have to miss an important month or two in the second half.
Yeah, I agree. Better now than late in the season, which, you know, as Met fans, we know that's happened in previous seasons where we lose everyone towards the end of the season and the wheels fall off. That's happened to us many, many times as Met fans.
Absolutely. And look, I mean, you know, whether it's injuries, whether it's guys just not being stretched out enough, like I think in the case of David Peterson last year, you know, I think that it seems the second half is usually where things do start to fall apart. I think David Stearns and company did a good job in this front office in building some depth, both in the rotation, in the pitching staff, and on the position player side, too. I thought that Mike Tauchman was a great pickup. Unfortunate, he had the torn MCL, but hopefully he'll be back soon. But You have to trust in what the front office did in the offseason to build up that depth to protect against that those wheels coming off.
Talking with Tony Metro, who does a lot of great Met content on social media, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. Carson Benge, you know, first game of the season at the home run. Everybody's going crazy. And since then, he's looked overmatched. What are your thoughts on Carson Benge?
Yeah, you know, up until about, I'd say, the series here with San Francisco, I didn't think he looked too overmatched. I thought he actually was hanging in at bats pretty well. I think he was working counts at a pretty good level. But this last weekend, I really do actually think he started to look a little overwhelmed by big league pitching. Like he's pressing a little too much, like he's trying to make something happen. We're not seeing the Carson Benge we saw in spring training that said, I hate to strike out, and that would do anything in his power just to put wood on the ball and stay alive, foul away tough pitches, take on other ones, spit on bad pitches, right? And draw his walks. And that's just not been the case here pretty much since opening day, like you said, hitting that homer in his first career game. I personally would like to see him get a little more run before I simply say, let's send him back to Syracuse. I'd give him consistent everyday starts. He's got an opportunity now with Soto down. I know the Mets will probably want to get Jared Young in there against righties, but I'd like Benge to get as much run as they can give him through the end of this month. And by the end of April, if we wake up on May 1st and he's still hitting 180, I might be ready to say, hey, let's reset things. Let's send him back to Syracuse. Let him get his feet under him again. But real quick, I'll mention to you a few stars around the league that also got off to really slow starts in their career. One I already mentioned, Bobby Witt Jr. was hitting under 200 through the first month of his rookie season. Julio Rodriguez, the same out in Seattle when he was a rookie as well. So sometimes it's one of those things, you got to throw them in the deep end and allow them to learn how to swim on their own. And other guys, yeah, maybe they do need a little more seasoning. Who Benge is, not totally sure at the moment.
And J-Rod still gets off to horrendous starts, even though he's an established all-star and paid.
Right. And just like we talked about Lindor, some guys just need a little more time. I don't know. Again, is it the cold weather? Is it just that they need to get into the groove and routine again? I'm not sure for each individual player, but in the case of Benge, he is someone that I do believe could be a star player in this league. I won't say superstar. That's, you know, really reserved for the cream of the crop. Yep. But I don't want to do anything that could cause permanent damage to him, either psychologically or in any case that might take away from his future potential.
Now, I don't know if you heard that the Mets, according to Yankee fans, love to get their scraps. What do you think of the Yankee scraps? Clay Holmes, Luke Weaver, and Devin Williams starts to their seasons.
Well, funny, because I'm pretty sure there's a guy by the name of Paul Blackburn pitching in the Bronx currently. Isn't that right?
Oh, correct.
Yeah.
And Amed Rosario, so correct.
Failed number one prospect in baseball at one time, Amed Rosario. But he's actually, I got to give him credit, doing all right in that little platoon they have for him. Well, you know, I mean, Devin Williams, 2-for-2 so far on saves. Not the prettiest save on Sunday. Gives up two hits. Gets bailed out a little there by just a base running blunder by Matt Chapman. Credit to Luis Torrens throwing him out there for inexplicably trying to steal second down three runs.
What a brain fart.
Gary Cohen said it on the broadcast, just an horrible, awful week for Matt Chapman, who I think also had five errors. not a good week at all for him. In any case, you know, Williams has gotten the job done. Bend don't break. He looked good in the first save against St. Louis. He definitely bent a little bit in that Saturday game against the Pirates last week, but has so far come out unscathed. And Luke Weaver has been tremendous. Hasn't given up a run, scattered a couple base hits and walks so far, and I think three, maybe four appearances. So really, really happy with the two relievers. And then, coming on his second year as a starter now, what more could you ask for out of Clay Holmes? I mean, the guy is steady Eddie. That's what I love to call Clay. Just goes out there and pitches like a number three should. Gives your team a chance to win every single time he gets up on that hill. And Saturday was just masterful. 7 shutout innings, pitching to contact, 11 ground ball outs. I'm pretty happy with the Yankee scraps, I would say.
So am I. So am I. I'll take scraps all day if they're going to perform like that.
Exactly. Really impressive stuff from those three.
And what are your thoughts on the new Mets, Marcus Semien and Bo Bichette and Jorge Polanco?
Well, we know Bichette got off to the slow start. Speaking of which, you know, been the topic of this conversation for other guys. And unfortunately, we know you, me, and Fleas, Mets fans, not exactly the most patient bunch, myself included. Yeah, that's probably an understatement, right?
Yes.
But I think, you know, Gio actually said it on the morning show a couple of days ago, something along the lines of, because Pete Alonso was not here, there was a little added pressure on Bo Bichette. And to a degree, I kind of do agree with him, where at the first sight of things going wrong for this new Mets team, the fans that were upset about the departure of those homegrown favorites were going to pounce. And that's pretty much what happened with Bichette going 1-for-14 with 8 strikeouts in that home opener series against Pittsburgh, but really came around here on the road trip. A couple of RBI knocks in St. Louis, a few more, and multi-hit games in San Francisco. He's going to get his. I mean, his numbers are not just going to disappear. Jorge Polanco has put up, most part, nothing but professional at-bats. And what a credit to him to hustle and get a double to lead off that rally in the top of the eighth yesterday when the Mets finished that comeback off. Barking Achilles and all. Really impressive job. Gutsy from Polanco. And, you know, Luis Robert, I don't think you asked about him.
I was just about to mention it. Yep.
Al, can you help me? Is it Robert or Robert? Because we are all divided.
Whatever you want to use, as long as he doesn't mind. I say Luis Robert Jr. I've heard that his entire career, Luis Robert Jr. I don't think I've ever heard Robert, so this is breaking news to me.
All right, we're rolling with Robert then. Wow. I said about Polanco, professional at bats, the same for Robert. And I mean, way more than I would have imagined. You know, the book on this guy was you could get him to chase, feed him a steady diet of breaking balls away. He's going to go after that slider in the left-handed batter's box. He has just taken what the pitching has given to him. And if it's not in the zone, he has not been chasing it. He has won a couple of challenges that were millimeters out of the zone and overturned in his favor. I mean, just what a job by Luis Robert. I know he had a few brain farts in St. Louis out in center field, but other than that, at the plate, he's a guy that I want at the plate, standing in the batter's box lately, just because of what he has been showing so far early in this year.
Yeah, if you look at Luis Robert Jr., he is batting, I think it's like over 300. Where is I have it here. Give me a sec. He's batting over 300. He's come up clutch in big spots. He had the walk-off homer as well. And when it was freezing cold at that game, but we stood the whole game and he hit the walk-off. Evan called. He's like, can you hit the home run so we can get the hell out of here? Next thing you know, crack, over the fence, home run. I'm really impressed with Robert Jr. And it's funny. A lot of Mets fans kill David Stearns. No Alonso, you know, McNeil, whatever. No Diaz. Who am I missing? Jeff McNeil, whatever. I'm missing Acuna. You know, Mets fans didn't want to get rid of these guys. And surprise, surprise, they're flopping in their new stops to start the season.
Yeah, well, I know Pete took an 0 for tonight. He had a nice diving stop to potentially save that game for Baltimore, but they didn't pay him to make the occasional diving play at first base. They paid him to be a slugger. And so far, I think just one home run and hitting under 200 after tonight's 0 for 4. So, you know, I don't wish ill will on any of those guys. I'm really not too pleased with Edwin Diaz's preferred destination of Los Angeles, you know, just making the Mets' path to a World Series more difficult. I will say that. So I am wishing the best to Nimmo and to Pete Alonso. But, you know, there is something about Mets fans that we do grow attached to those homegrown players or guys that have long tenures here in Queens. But at the end of the day, that team only made the playoffs twice out of the last 7 years since 2019. And as painful as it might have been to see that news scroll across your phone or wherever you got it when Pete Alonso signed in Baltimore and Nimmo was traded to Texas, I was ready for a change and to see something different. And you see what Milwaukee's been doing over the last couple of years? That's largely because of what David Stearns built.
Oh, the other one also, Brandon Sproat. He's got a 14 ERA right now at the gates for the Brewers. I don't know if you saw this with Pete Alonso, and I'll let you go after this. you know, 10, it was 8 games in. These were he was trending. So here's the tweets. Pete Alonso is Chris Davis 2.0. Pete Fat F Alonso. Pete Alonso, get cancer and die. Big whiff from Pete Alonso. What are we paying you for? Pete Alonso, please, whatever yourself. I'm not going to use that word. Pete Alonso is trash. I don't know why you got so excited about signing. He'll be the next Chris Davis. You think Pete misses the Mets?
Wow. You know, I'll just say this. Social media is a blessing and a curse, but I think more times than not, it's more a curse when you read comments like that. And I'm pretty sure I stumbled across the same thread. Look, I was thinking about this. I wasn't sure if you'd ask me about Pete tonight, but I don't think there was a world Pete was coming back. I don't think Pete felt appreciated anymore. And you know what? I think there were wrongs on both sides where I'd like to have seen the Mets bring Pete back under their terms, of course, you know, maybe some wiggle room. But at the end of the day, in 23, the Mets made a very fair offer to him, a very fair market value offer to him. And he decided to hire Scott Boras and bet on himself. And it didn't work out that first time around. And after that, a couple years older, the Mets decided, we appreciate what you've done for us, but we don't see you as a part of the long-term future. So I just don't think it was ever going to happen. And I wish him the best, but at the same time, I'm very happy with the group that they've assembled here now.
Now, be fair, Brandon Nimmo's killing it right now in Texas. He's off to a tremendous start. So good for Brandon Nimmo. You know, the reports were that Lindor and Nimmo did not get along because of politics. That was all a bunch of BS because they've come out and said it, that they're friends. There's nothing, no hatred between them or nothing like that. You like to put out these little nuggets when it comes to the Mets, and you're pretty good at putting them out. What's something Mets fans should be keeping an eye on the next 2 weeks? The homestand, and then they go to L.A. What should Mets fans be keeping an eye on when it comes to this team the next couple of weeks?
That's a good question. I think the obvious thing is, how does the offense look with no Juan Soto? They said maybe 2 to 3 weeks is a recovery, but they also put the 10-day injured list retroactive to Saturday. So does it get back sooner than that 2 to 3 week period? But how does the lineup look without Juan Soto in it? That's probably the biggest thing. And then after that, I guess it would probably be Carson Bench, like we talked about. If he continues to kind of flounder here, do the Mets make a decision where they go to MJ Melendez, who had a good spring training? Maybe Christian Pache similarly had a really good Grapefruit League season. And then even, don't forget this name, Mets signed him hours before first pitch at Citi Field opening day. Tommy Pham back in the fold. No, Tommy Pham's not going to get people excited, but he is down in Port St. Lucie getting work in right now. So I would say, how does this lineup look without Soto? And then how does Benj look here over the next couple of weeks? And is there a potential move where they're going to send him back to Syracuse and call up one of those names to replace him?
Tony, anything you want to plug before I let you go?
Al, you already did it for me. I appreciate it. But it's Tony Metro on all the different social medias. YouTube is really my bread and butter, where we do post-game live streams after every Mets game, unless they end at 1 a.m. like these West Coast games against the Giants this weekend. The only time I stay up this late is to talk to Al Cintrone on the Fan. So other than that, yes, Tony Metro all across the board, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
Tony, keep up the great work. I appreciate it. And now get some sleep.
I will now. Thank you, Al. I appreciate it very much.
All right, no problem. That's Tony Metro. You can find him on social media, Tony Metro, at Tony Metro MLB.